1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate has passed a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. A small group of GOP senators opposed to the money for Ukraine, including Wisconsin's Ron Johnson. They held the floor through the night, arguing the U.S. should focus on its own problems before sending any more money overseas.
As sympathetic as I am for the Ukrainian people, I don't see how sending another $60 billion helps their plight.
The bill now heads to the House, where a group of Republicans there are also opposing it. According to those close to negotiations, progress is being made toward a deal to bring about a ceasefire in Gaza and free hostages who are still being held. Former President Trump wants the Supreme Court to weigh in on his absolute immunity claim, his lawyers filing an emergency appeal with the high court on Monday. We get a key reading on inflation this morning when the Labor Department releases the Consumer Price Index. Economists expect it will show falling prices for the third month in a row. This is ABC News. A lot of retailers are testing out the idea that less may be more.
Have you noticed your favorite stores may not be carrying all of your favorites lately? Well, there's a reason for it. Many retailers are reducing their offerings to focus instead on what they say sells best. Case in point, supermarket chain Stu Leonard's carried 49 types of breakfast cereal in 2019. Now they stock just 24. And it isn't just in stores. Coca-Cola's cut its brands in half to 200. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you're shopping for chocolate ahead of Valentine's Day, get ready to pay more. Cocoa prices have soared to an all-time high. One chocolate shop in New York City says prices are 13% higher than last year. Protesting farmers in India clashing with police. The farmers demanding guaranteed crop prices, but police using tear gas on some of the protesters near New Delhi. And a search in Kenya for the country's most famous lion, Olabor, normally roams a nature preserve, but hasn't been seen in about a month. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hey, Wayne, shopping for a new door? Do you need something more dependable?
Yes, something that's durable, dent-resistant, knows how to take a hit, and is going to last for years.
We're still talking about the door, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Of course.
Wayne Larrabee and Jeff Levering shopping together at Pella? What next? How about 0% interest for up to 60 months when you place your order by February 23rd at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Offer ends 2/23/2024.
Less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat, light 12 grain, and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least one Republican has announced their candidacy to replace outgoing Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher. Gallagher announced he would not seek another term Saturday. Former State Senator Roger Roth has already announced his plan to run for the seat. Roth served as senator from 2017 until 2021 and ran for lieutenant governor alongside Tim Michaels in 2022. Current State Senator Andre Jacques and GOP consultant Alex Brusewitz have also expressed interest in the seat. No Democrats have announced their intention yet to run for the seat. A leading Democrat says Republicans may be setting a trap for the governor if they pass his maps. Congressman Mark Pocan tweets Republicans could appeal those maps in federal court, and if they do, Wisconsin's current maps would stay in place through November. Many Democrats want the state Supreme Court to draw the maps. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
High school hockey tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The WIAA Boys and Girls State High School Hockey Tournaments begin in locations across the state. Later this week will be the regionals, followed by the sectionals. The finalists will head to Middleton, Wisconsin at the end of the month for the state finals. The Wisconsin Girls Hockey Tournament, 23 years old. The boys in its 54th year. NBA, the Bucks getting it together with another win, this time 112-95 over the Denver Nuggets in five-serve form. Marquette's men's basketball learned learned that they're now ranked fifth in the nation. They are looking for their eighth win in a row in a rematch at Butler. Wisconsin is at home against Ohio State. The Badgers looking to snap a four-game losing streak that cost them in the rankings, dropping from 11th to 20th in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard.
As I told the team the other day, you want your shooting percentage to go up, take better shots. It's not, we're not unveiling anything here super scientific. Just get good shots.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy today with a high right around 34 this afternoon. The wind, not terribly strong, out of the north at just 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 25. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and warmer, 42. Could see some rain and then some light snow tomorrow night. It won't amount to much. Thursday morning, some light snow early, then clearing, 36. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 30.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allmall. Noon till 3 on Tuesday. It's Tuesday Tangents with our own Luke Mathers. Also, what grinds your gears right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to hour number two of Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM WGBW in Green Bay, 98.3 FM WSS in Oshkosh, and the Civic Media app. 31 degrees in Green Bay, 30 in Appleton, 30 in Oshkosh. Got some snow. Kind of got a Christmas look to it out there. Ron Books joining us right now, Vice President of WAMI, Wisconsin Area Music Industry. Ron, thanks for making the drive over.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking about this a bunch. This is exciting stuff, the WAMIs.
Absolutely.
We're excited you're on our show. Johnny and I do, you know, we kind of talk about what's going on, what's unique about our community, and music always comes up. I mean, we, who's the guy that comes in on Friday?
Glam Band?
Yeah, no, it's
Dennis.
Dennis. His name slipped me, but.
Oh, Dennis?
Right. No, he comes
on.
I
know him well.
I know him. He knows, he talks very highly about your organization. This is great because everybody, I think we kind of lost a little bit with the Packers, Brewers, Bucks, and there's so much talent in our state in music.
Oh, it's incredible. You know, just looking over our Hall of Fame people that have broken out of Wisconsin and certainly have made their mark in the world in general. And then Wisconsin itself, we've always had a very rich music community. Milwaukee's always been really top-notch. Madison, Green Bay has all kinds of music history going on.
We do. And I was telling, when we were talking, we're glad you're here. And thanks for coming in, because we want to talk about this whole WAMI Awards. This is your 42nd, right?
It will be the 42nd. That's correct.
That's fantastic.
that's a lot of words. But we just talk about the love for sports in this town, but the love for music, like, you know, across the street here, you know, we're on Washington. You look across the street at Schreiber, which is a $6 billion company. The president of that place is an unbelievable musician.
Absolutely.
And that happens a lot. I mean, there's just a lot of talent in this community. And sometimes we'll go to a place and see people in a band or something. It's like, I didn't know you did that. I thought you were selling cars. You know, they just.
Well, that's because the saying is never quit your day job.
But yeah, thanks for doing this. So how many awards?
What's the oldest joke? How do you get a drummer off your porch?
Pay for the pizza.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I know most of those.
I bet you know every one of them.
I bet you do. But musicians are musicians. But this WAMI Awards, how does one get recognized? Tell me about the process.
Well, the process itself, we have instituted a new voting process. But to be nominated for a WAMI Award, you don't have to be a member of the organization. However, to vote, which, by the way, voting for the first round is going to take place the 16th, will be open, which is this Friday. It's going to be open for about a month. There's actually two rounds of voting that takes place by our members. But we also have a People's Choice category where anybody can vote.
Nice.
And certainly that's... That's a, I guess it's a popularity contest, but what is music and entertainment about, really?
Absolutely. Right. Where did some of these people get their interest from? I mean, you grew up kind of in the business, the radio business, as you're talking with your dad, which is fascinating, the job he had. That sounded really cool. But what have you seen that has kept it alive? Because, you know, everything has an era. You know, there's a punk era. There's a such and such era. What has really kept it vibrant in Northeast Wisconsin from the Fox Cities on up?
Well, I think part of it is tradition. I don't know about you guys, but as soon as we were all old enough to go to taverns and where they're having music, you know, you could have Y dances. There were dances at school, all kinds of places where there was live entertainment. So, you know, at that time, that's just what you did.
Yeah.
That was, you know, the biggest competition we have in the music business is not with each other. It's with all of the other things you could do that are cheaper and safer.
Yeah. But, I mean, that remember, that at least my era in the 70s, was every high school had probably two bands, maybe three of kids, garage bands type thing.
Absolutely.
That was so big back then.
Oh, it's still going on.
Is it?
You know, what's different now is these kids can go online. They can look up these tutorials and, you know, they're doing like guitar shredding and stuff. We had to sit there. This is even before cassette tapes for me. We just had to sit there with a record. And if you really had a good turntable, you could turn it down and slow it down a little bit.
Okay.
But we were sitting there learning stuff, and instead of looking up lyrics online, you had to, you know, listen to the music.
What did you say?
Oh, my God. What did you say,
and you'd always get it wrong. There's always something in there that, you in your mind, you're singing a song, and it's like, oh, that's not what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. You make a good point, Ron, when you talk about, you know, we only have so much money for entertainment, right? And some of this stuff's gotten kind of expensive.
Some of it.
Not you guys. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about your competitors, sports. You know, and if you got, you're going to spend $1,500 on entertainment. I mean, you could use that up pretty quick. So I think people, we talk about this on this show often on Fridays. There's still some really good entertainment out there for $20, $25.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's really good entertainment.
Yep. And, you know, we really want people to go out and support the local musicians, support the local artists, because that's really where it starts.
Yeah.
You don't get to be a big star unless you've played all the little places.
And they remember that, and so do we. But when they get big. But there's just a lot of, even though they don't get big, there's just some great music in this community.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're huge fans of Kevin Van Ness, who he's in Florida now, but just a great, great musician. Mm-hmm. And I've got his CDs, and he's local, you know.
Well, we're just talking about Denmark School. Pretty much every year I do their Veterans Day program, help out at it. And you got Bill Denny, you know, Big Mouth running their, you know, this junior high band. It's like, do you guys realize how talented this guy is? And for him to be your band instructor, how cool that is?
It is. And that's nice that he gives back to that school. Yeah, that's a great, you know, Big Mouth is.
And the band director is always the coolest teacher.
There you go.
They are, too. Right? They really are. Kids love them.
And the band room is where you can go instead of a study hall.
Right.
Well,
you
know what, though? When Dennis from the glam band, when he is, and we talked about this with him, you know, some of the most influential people in his life were music teachers when he was younger to encourage him. You know, it could have been just as easy for somebody to say, you'll never make any money doing that or whatever. But he said that person really sparked, you know, their interest in what they really wanted to do.
Yep. I can tell you my band teacher was, influential in what I did.
Right.
Kind of easing the skids going to college and taking music, and it was all good.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
And I think sometimes you go to something as a kid, actually as an adult, but I guess as a kid, and you see someone like band, like Earl Scruggs, right? Or somebody, mm-hmm. and you're like, that's like really cool. I want to try that. You know, get some exposure to it because they can do it. Unlike, you know, you see somebody, you know, dunking shots or playing football. Yeah. I really can't do that. You know, I'm a scrawny kid. I really can't do that. But music, I mean, if you put your mind to it, I mean, you can really learn a lot of different instruments, and it's such an opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And if you like attention, like most kids
Let's
do.
Let's be honest with that. Do most guys try to form a band in like junior high or whatever for the ladies?
I don't know if that's the primary reason, because they're too young to drink beer.
Oh, good point.
But it certainly has something to do. And
doesn't,
you know,
mean we didn't drink it.
That's right. In athletics, you find out very quickly as a musician that you can get lots of attention and you don't have to get bruised.
Yeah, good point. Where is the state of local talent in Wisconsin right now? Because, you know, everything has an ebb and flow. And as we mentioned, you hate to keep using COVID as an excuse for anything, but it put a dent into so many things. It's incredible. And we're still recovering in some ways. Where is the local music stage right now?
Well, it's recovering.
Okay.
I know people that are in the booking business, and they're saying that they're having a really good year.
Okay.
And
it did take a hit, though, didn't it?
Oh, it took a huge hit. In fact, even with our show, during the COVID year, we had to postpone our show 3 times because the venue could not host it because of COVID rules. So, I told you before, the best thing we did after COVID with our show was we had it.
Yeah, just do it.
It is. We're open. Yeah. You know, that's so key. So this is coming up. Are the tickets, can the general public go to this?
This is wide open.
Okay,
to the
this
public.
Isn't a membership thing. Okay, all right. So tell me a little bit more about the event that's coming up.
Well, it is going to be May 19th at the Epic Event Center. That's a Sunday. You know, we always have it on Sunday because that's the day none of us are working.
Yep.
And it is open to the public. Certainly, we encourage everybody to show up. There's going to be a series of events taking place on the Saturday, the day before, and there are going to be announcements about that.
Cool.
But the show itself, it's not an expensive show, but it's a really good show. And what we do is we try to showcase what is the best of what's going on right now. We have a Hall of Fame, so we usually induct 3 people that are from Wisconsin into the Whammy Hall of Fame.
Where do you guys have a physical setting for the Hall of Fame?
We don't have a physical setting.
Jim's got
right here. I did. Ron, this is
he's already planning.
This is why I wanted you on the show. if Johnny and I commit to,
I don't know where I came from in this thing, but go ahead.
Just go with it.
$1 million. Will you build a start?
Wait a minute, Todd. Did I just commit to $1 million?
I mean,
why did you just say $100 billion? That's the odds of
John. Wait, I didn't say personal. I said we can go out and raise the money.
$1 million.
Oh, that won't be that hard for this.
Okay.
For this.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, that would be fun.
And we could build it close to Epic, so we could have the museum right there, and that could be part of our. Does it have to be in Milwaukee? That's my question. I don't want to get.
Could it be
in Green Bay? Just tell me yes or no. I'm not going to hold you to it.
We've never broached the subject.
Actually, I'm going to hold you to it.
He's broached it a lot.
We understand you got some connections.
Well, but look at what we have in Green Bay. We have the Packer Hall of Fame, but you know, we've got that unbelievable car, the automotive gallery, which is great. And the Neville is so-so. Johnny's working on a veterans museum, and I want to do a music museum. Children's museum is going great. They're in $1 million scared you off. They're doing a $9 million campaign.
Okay,
for children's museum. You don't think we can get businesses like the guy across the street to say, "Look,
he has talked about this from day one."
I have.
Okay. And I love music. This is a legit passion he has.
Selfishly, okay. I would. My dad sang barbershop music.
Okay.
Won the international championship in 1951.
Awesome.
And they got a stage named after him in Two Rivers. But, I mean, I just love music. I think it's part of our life and different. And Wisconsin, besides Liberace, has turned out just hundreds of great, great musicians.
All kinds of them.
And absolutely. Good ones.
Oh, great ones. Famous ones.
Can you stick around?
Yeah, I can.
You got him all wound up now. We're back at this.
We're already building a building. Yeah. Rubbing down the one-night stands, moving everything around me, yeah. Got to stop to feeling so low, and I decided quickly, yes I did.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Matt Nair.
Mayor on Air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and has started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Mayer on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Mayer on Air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Mayer on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Mayer on Air.
Welcome back. Mine on the Mayor with Rod Books, Vice President of Whammy, Wisconsin Area Music Industry. And I get when you're in your wheelhouse, I just sit back and let it go. So go ahead.
I grab some popcorn. I'm over here watching.
Just sit back and let him do his thing.
John leaves the room. Ron and I are talking about the building, how we're going to lay it out, how we're going to utilize it. And it's going to be part of, just museums in greater Green Bay. And anyway, I think it's good to honor musicians. And if sometimes they're, I think you're doing a good job by, having a Hall of Fame, but I just think people, like you've been down to the Country Music Hall of Fame, you've been to Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's cool stuff.
Yep, that's like, awesome stuff.
Like, we're going to put the glam band Wigs in there. And people are going to be like, who is that? All those guys are kind of 80s music guys, and, these... there's a lot we can do. That could be a lot of fun. I want it to be really, really classy. Like I like the Country Music Hall of Fame. I'm not a big country music guy, but I do like the way that's laid out.
Yeah.
It's just clean. It's easy to get around. Yep. They have great wine and cheese parties there. And I like that place.
Yep.
Anyway, we can do that. And we can start in Green Bay here with a couple million dollars, but then we can expand it as things go on. So we'll do a big expansion for your 50th, but I'd like to get this thing open by the 45th.
What a challenge.
Well, we got, as I told you, Johnny, I don't want to talk. We're on air right now, but I think it's a great idea, right? But I want it in Green Bay. So I think you have to talk to your board and say, because Madison's going to be, well, we want it. We're this educational hub and this creative hub. And then Milwaukee's going, we're the largest city. We would like it. And I want you to say
that's kind of how it works in the state.
I've been with the big three, right? Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay.
Yeah.
And we've had our discussions, but it belongs here. And anyway, let's talk more about the awards. Who's getting nominated?
Well, the nominations, let's see. There are nominations out there now. So the voting is going to take place. Anybody can nominate anybody. You just go online. We are partnered with Broadjam, which is a big music licensing operation. One of their head person is on our board. And you go in, you just have you establish a Broadjam account, and then you can go in and do nominations. Now, the nominations had taken place in about the last month. So now we have a series of people that are nominated, and the voting takes place by the members. And, of course, there's the People's Choice category as well, where you don't have to be a member for your vote to count.
You know what I think is the one year I was there, like I said, it was at the PAC, but I remember this young girl, probably 16 or 17, getting some award. And I thought to myself, what a great, for her to be recognized that in that stage of her career and get that much more encouragement. You know what I mean? I just thought, because, you had the old grizzled guys there, too. But it's like, how cool is it to see somebody who... puts their passion, their heart and soul probably into this to get recognized
that. Well, that's going to be the next generation of musicians here in Wisconsin. So, it's important to recognize them and make sure that they're encouraged and keep doing what they're doing.
I totally agree.
We're all in.
Yeah.
This.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Do you want it just so you can get your family in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I just don't know.
Is that partial? Would they be like when the Packers open up their Hall of Fame and like, you know, Tony Cannondale and Don Hudson were the first people? If we did this, would the Schmidt brothers be in the inaugural?
That is not my decision.
The ribbon cutting ceremony.
Yes, absolutely.
That is not my decision. Yes. That is the Schmidt wing.
I can tell you we do have a Polka Award. Because it's so much a part of the culture here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. And unfortunately, you know, there aren't as many polka bands out there. They don't get them for your wedding anymore. You get a DJ or whatever. But certainly that's a huge part of our culture.
But no question.
That's part of who we are, and I don't want to lose that. And like you said, in 30 years, if there's only one or two, that's no fun. I mean, I want to get this museum, and that may even regenerate someone to say, let's listen to this. That's interesting music, and get some, you know, high school kids to try polka. And that's a long shot, but I just think if we don't honor it and memorialize it, we're going to lose it.
And good for the people out in Pulaski that put on a big festival every year.
I have a very wealthy friend who lives in Pulaski. I'm going to hit him up.
Polka.
Gus Polinski.
That's Polinski. Yeah. Coming up in the next one, we got one calling in. Polka on Sundays. What do you say? The one, the two. Here we go. Let's get her out on the dance floor there.
Hey, when I was in college, I played in polka bands.
Did you?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, one of the other guys in the percussion department said, hey, I got an extra gig. You want to, you know, cover this gig for me? And I played with Dave and Augie in the Shades of Happiness.
Oh, nice.
I was one of the shades.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't there like a couple different types of polka? Like,
oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's like...
You got your Shottish, you got your...
I mean, the people that really know it, they're aficionados of the different types of polka, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Did you guys have that with your barbershop thing? Different levels of...
No, we were just great.
Did you sing, actually? Were you part of the group?
So I made my money in high school. Remember, you were picking up night crawlers? I was singing in a quartet. The cummerbund on the arm and a bull hat. Yeah, we sang.
Sure.
That's how I made money.
I didn't know you were actually part of the group.
Yes.
I thought it was your uncles.
Well, they were very famous, Johnny. We weren't that. We were good.
Were you with your uncles or with a different group?
No,
you were never with that. What's
I was with some high school friends.
You were never
it was
with
like a college garage band.
Okay.
It was just four of us that could all sing. And we went around and sang for like Lions Club Ladies Night.
I heard those get wild.
Now keep in mind,
$50 for all four of us.
One of the groups in our Hall of Fame is the Cordettes. And if you remember, they were from Sheboygan.
Yes.
And Mr. Sandman. And
right.
That was, you know, charting number one.
They were from Sheboygan?
That's a Wisconsin act. Absolutely.
Mr. Sandman. I did not know that.
See, John,
absolutely.
If you walk through the Hall of Fame with your family, you would be
I wouldn't know that.
Yes.
And then, what's his name? I used to do a show once in a while at a bar in Manitowoc where the owner's, like, brother wrote a real big hit. Is it Agree to Disagree?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about...
It's Wenzel's Bar.
Jim Krieger.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He played with Dave Mason.
Oh, Dave Mason, that's right.
That's another big thing.
We just disagree.
Yes. That's right.
Exactly.
I mean, made a bundle.
He's in the Hall.
Is he in the Hall? Awesome.
Krieger or Mason?
Krieger.
Oh.
That's cool. Then we got a texture. How about Bluegrass?
Cool.
Is there a bluegrass
thing
around category? Okay.
Yeah, try to hit all the genres.
Okay. And then I got another one here. Piper Road String Band should be in the Hall of Fame. You ever hear of the Piper
Road
String Band?
Well, have you? Okay, you were kind of looking.
Okay.
But to get them in, this guy should... Did anybody can nominate, or is it a whammy guy? I'm sure you said that.
Well, the let's see.
You got to be on the board or something, right?
No. but there is a committee for the Hall of Fame. We've got a running list of people that we think are going to be eligible. To make the Hall of Fame, one of the criteria is you have to have gotten, your influence has to have gone beyond the state of Wisconsin.
Right.
There are a lot of people that are famous within the state. We haven't put those people in the Hall of Fame, not many of them anyway. But, you know, every year as a committee, we go over the list, we add to it as we go along, and we make recommendations to the board in general, and usually we put three in.
Nice.
There you go.
Ron, this has been fantastic. Vice President of WAMI, Wisconsin Area Music Industry.
Website.
WAMI.org.
Oh, that's easy.
Yep. WAMI.org.
All right. And we got an event coming up here in May, but before that, get on the website, learn more about it, and if you want to donate to the museum, just call Mino and the Mayor.
There you go. And there'll be announcements as we get closer right. to the show. We're three months out.
Well, come back again, okay?
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
I'd love to.
This is great. Yeah. You're a good guy.
All right, we're going to start a quick break. Send it in. Can be joining us, Specifus.
Please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Wisconsin farmers may have to do some quick pivoting before spring planting to figure out how they're going to control weeds without dicamba in soybeans. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Last week, a federal judge with the U.S. District Court out of Arizona revoked the approval that allows the farmers to use dicamba herbicide products on soybeans here in Wisconsin, as well as cotton in the South. Now, one of the nation's top ag leaders speaking out against the ruling. Chuck Connor is the president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives.
Well, this is a significant ruling, and it's part of a more fundamental problem we have had in the last decade, where the courts have had just too much to say about the regulatory process of the government of the United States. And whether it's EPA or FDA or whatever the case has been, the courts have really sort of taken over from where the experts are.
Chuck Connor, he is the CEO and president of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. He said he was just returning from a trip in Alabama, where planting season is just about ready to begin there. He said farmers are scurrying, trying to figure out what their weed control program is going to look like, also trying to figure out if their retail is going to be accepting what product they already had purchased for at least credit against the growing season of 2024's expenses. We'll keep you posted on what's happening right here in Wisconsin when it comes to pivoting without dicamba in soybeans. Markets and overnight electronic trade as we get rolling on a Tuesday morning. Pretty quiet. Numbers are next.
Fabulous Farm Babe. Glad to be joined in studio today by Doug Munson. He is the gentleman that is working in conjunction with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board to make things happen here in the state of Wisconsin. What starts in Wisconsin can have a ripple effect across the United States.
That's what we always hope for, is what are those ripple effects? You know, for every dollar that's invested, it's a return of $12.34. You know, how those investments really bring value, they can be debated or they can be looked at in many different ways. Biodiesel brings, I think we say over a dollar now, you know, years ago before inflation, we'll say, it was 63 cents to a bushel of soybeans that brought that value. Whether it's 63 cents or it's $1.34, which we've heard as high as that amount, that's a huge amount of value to your bushel of soybeans. So those are the things that are ripple effects, right, that can start in Wisconsin or sometimes at the national level, but have big, big impact in the world of soybean.
Doug Munson, in studio with me on behalf of the Wisconsin Soybean Association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, the financial driving force behind our research that's done here in the state of Wisconsin. For more, pop on over to cornsoyexpo.org.
In overnight trade this morning, the corn market's quiet, soybeans trading 3 cents lower, and the wheat market down four. Yesterday, barrel cheese gained a penny and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a half. Double-A butter on Monday, up 2.25 cents. I'm PM Yankee.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Partly cloudy today with a high right around 34 this afternoon. The wind not terribly strong out of the north at just 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 25. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and warmer, 42. Could see some rain and then some light snow tomorrow night. It won't amount to much. Thursday morning, some light snow early, then clearing, 36. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 30.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well. and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Now, inside the house with Sandra Rank of the Sandra Rank Real Estate Collective with Keller Williams.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 7:34 on this Tuesday morning. Very, very fun time talking music. Jim, I tell you, man, you got wound up there. You were excited. I've never seen you so excited.
Well, it's like you in the Veterans Museum, right? You just something you can do to just connect with the community and honor people. And I think musicians deserve that. So yeah, I'm going to work on that, and I'm going to talk to some people, and got a wealthy friend of mine here right now sitting next to me, so I'm going to hit him up and we'll get moving along. But
hi, Sandra Rank.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Speaking of polka weddings, I used to wait tables for $5 a night at the Swamps in Pulaski, and the thing was, you got to eat for free. $5, you waited on tables. The polka weddings have hundreds of people at them. They would have these big, giant polka bands, and you could drink for free all night. Who cares if you were 13 or 14?
Right.
And your parents would pick you up like at 10, and you danced your brains out all night, and it was super, super fun. The
five
best.
$5 for the night. No tips.
Something tells me the polka people aren't big tippers, but I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions here.
You didn't even think about getting a tip. You got $5. Right. And it was like, you were happy. But anyway, those were the days. But so Tim Pollock is here. So I get a lot of estate questions about...
Wait a minute. Go back. First, so Tim has an extensive background in polka. Tell him, Tim.
I do. I grew up in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Oh. And all of our dances were polka dances.
So, the best. Yeah. Super fun.
Home of the
Super
Strawberry fun. Sunday.
Yeah, you're right.
That Washington Inn State, that's a nice hotel
It's a very cute little town.
It is. I love
Anybody
Cedarburg.
Gets a chance to visit Cedarburg.
Did you guys stop there once, Jim?
Very picturesque.
No, or is that a different place?
What's that?
I asked if you got stopped there once.
Oh, geez. But I want to say the other thing about Cedarburg. It's this quaint little town. And this
skip
has
that topic.
Yes, we'll skip that.
He's got his tickets sitting right there in front of him.
This has...
I can represent you.
This is. I think I'm going to be okay with this one. I want to prove a point to John. It was his fault. So back to Cedarburg has a unique stores. They have a place there called Heritage Lighting. And Sandra sells a lot of homes. And we talk about kind of upgrading or making your home a real home. That is a place to get. And like old lighting, like we got
so
chandeliers.
Authentic lighting.
It is
okay,
and it's in Cedarburg. Anyway, that's
right on
segue.
Main Street.
Yes, yep. Love them. They did a good job. Back to Tim Pollock. Before we talk about Tim and your role in real estate, I just want our listeners to know you are a great guy. I've known you for years. You made an investment on Broadway. You bought a building. You were a very young attorney when you moved over there. Right?
Hold no,
right.
I'm old. No. Thank you.
But you were
old is a relative term.
Well, you were.
I was 28.
Okay. I was going to say you.
You did convert a very cool building there,
didn't
though. He? That's, I did. That still stands out.
It wasn't my best financial investment, but thank you, John. Thank
it looks
you.
Great.
Well, we're glad you did it. And you deal with title?
Yeah, I mean, real estate and estate planning is my two areas of legal practice, and then I own Liberty Title Company. So my main focus is on real estate, correct?
Right.
He's a very good attorney. Very good.
And that's a critical piece of the transaction. Is to make sure you have a good attorney. And, you know, we talked about a good bank.
An attorney is not a critical piece of the transaction unless you really need one, which hopefully you don't. But Tim, if you need one, is fantastic. I recommend it by pretty much anybody I know if there's a real estate question. But he owns a title company, and that is a critical piece of the transaction. Very good title company. I met Tim when I first got into real estate in the late 90s.
We're dating ourselves today, aren't we?
I know. I just got a text that said... Ask Tim how late he stayed out the last time we went to a Marquette game a couple of weeks ago.
Is this from Franny?
This is probably very late, yes.
It's from Mike.
It was 2:30 in the morning, probably 3 in the morning. I don't know. It's pretty late.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'd throw that in there.
But Marquette won.
So. All right. And you were at your desk at 8 o'clock, so that's all that matters.
Well, he came over here from his desk at 7:30.
All right.
I'm like, dude, you are up early.
Yeah. Hey, Sandra, one of the things though, with real estate, with something like that, a lot of times people get into a big transaction type thing, and they don't know all the mechanisms behind it. I mean, There are so many things that people might not know about real estate transactions, and it's people like Tim that's that sort of buffer. Wouldn't you agree? Making sure it goes smoothly?
Well, the title company has that role, which is Tim's company, so I would agree with that. There are a lot of things that happen in transactions that the title company handles that are super important. But the reason I wanted to have Tim on is a lot of people ask me, how should we hold title to our property? How should we be planning our estate? And I'm like, I'm a real estate agent. I am not an attorney. I am not a estate planner. But I thought it would be great to have Tim to come on to talk about some basic questions. Like when you are planning your part of your wealth planning, you know, for your personal self, how should you hold title? Should it be in a trust? Why should it be in a trust? What kind of a trust should it be in? How should you be naming beneficiaries? Because if, God forbid, you pass away, and people do pass away, these things come into play, and if they're not done correctly, it's a cluster, and you want to avoid clusters at all costs. So I thought having Tim to come on, just talk about some simple things like, how should you have your house titled?
Yeah, the first question I always ask people when I sit down with them and talk about estate planning or titling is, how do you currently have your house or your real estate titled? If you're married and you don't have a prenuptial agreement or postnuptial agreement, you really should have title to all your real estate held together, husband and wife, survivorship, marital property. That way you avoid the probate court upon one's death or the other. So that's kind of the first question. And then the second question, if you want to avoid probate with all your assets, typically people will set up what's called a revocable living trust. And that is a mechanism in which to avoid the probate court process. So those are kind of the two main things. Nowadays, though, we have what's called a transfer upon death deed, which instead of spending money with an attorney, you know, because a trust can cost anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 to set up. So a lot of times people will want to avoid probate, and there's different mechanisms to do that. And one is the transfer upon death deed, which basically upon the last to die between you and your spouse, the property would automatically go to your beneficiaries as you listed on this transfer upon death deed.
So do you, if you do the irrevocable trust, would you recommend that? Or?
The irrevocable trust is different from the revocable living trust. Most people have the revocable living trust so you can make changes, you can control the asset, and that's a mechanism in which to avoid probate with your assets, your probatable assets. Irrevocable trust is where you can't make the changes, you lose control over that asset, and that's a way to mainly get that out of that asset out of your estate for credit reasons or for estate tax reasons.
Do you have to have, if you're going to sit down with you and kind of go through this estate plan, you have to I'm assuming you have to identify the beneficiaries.
Yes. Correct.
And that can be difficult.
Well, in some cases it can. You
but
know,
necessary.
But necessary for sure. Because so you want, you want.
John, it's S-C-H-M-I-T-T.
Ah! You know what, Tim, a lot of this, and like we were talking about with real estate, like I remember people would be in halfway through a transaction and they'd be like, what are closing costs? You know what I mean? There are so many other aspects of it that before people, and we've talked about this, Sandra, as far as before they really go serious about searching for a house to buy or to sell or whatever, really just take some time to do that background and just study it up. Don't you agree?
Well, before we get to that, I don't want to hop off this is how hold title because it's such an important topic. I'll come back to that, but yes, I do agree. But they're not, closing costs for a title company are not massive. There's a transfer fee. We get into that a little bit. One of the things I do see people say, Tim, is they'll say, I'm going to give my house to my kids. I'm going to put the house in my kids' name. Is that something that you recommend, or is that something that if you do that, what I've heard is like, let's say I did that. So my child has our house, but I paid, let's say, $300,000 for my house. Now it's worth $600,000. When they go to sell it, they pay the tax on that difference of money. Is that correct?
That's correct. They would have to pay capital gains tax on that sale. So, I mean, there's, you know, everybody's situation is unique. And of course, I always recommend individually, who's ever listening, to talk to their attorney about their situation and what they want to accomplish for their family. But yes, you can gift your asset to your kids during your lifetime. A lot of people do that because they want to transfer, they want to gift something to their kids during their lifetime, and they want to avoid future creditors with that asset. Now, there's pros and cons to it. Nothing is black and white. You know, no one has a crystal ball on what will happen in the future. So, again, for your unique situation, you have to sit down and discuss it with an attorney to see if that fits your needs. So when you gift a property, let's say that you gift an asset to someone, they take whatever your basis is in the property at that time. So that means when they go to sell it, they have to pay capital gains tax on that difference, like you said. Mm-hmm. Now, if they had inherited it from their parents.
In a trust.
It doesn't matter whether it was a trust or just regular inheritance via probate. They would take the fair market value of that asset at the time. So they get what's called a step up in basis. So now when they go to sell the property, they would have to pay zero capital gains tax on that sale. So like I said, you know, that's kind of the pros and cons of gifting during your lifetime. Plus, if I gift my house to my three kids during my lifetime, it's subject to their creditors. So if one of my children get a divorce during that time period or have judgments or tax liens, that those liens become a lien on the property itself. Mm-hmm. So it's not always... You know, so right or wrong. There.
That's why I wanted to have you on, because I feel like people do some of these things because they've heard someone else did it and they mm-hmm. don't really sit down and talk with someone about the like the ramifications of that. And also like talking to people about you should really review and we're coming in this Friday to review our estate, but we're way behind. You should really review your estate like every 4 to 5 years, right? Tax laws change, things happen, like people that you may have named for a beneficiary. You might have a difference, like you might want to change your mind on that. So it's important for people to stay up on that, because we've been on the end when people do die. And because that stuff isn't taken care of, it really is unnecessarily stressful at a hard time for them.
Correct. I think that anytime that you have life changes, that's when you need to review your estate plan again to make sure that everything that you had sat down with the attorney before to go through is the same as you want it now. You know, your estate plan is meant to change. You know, when you're young, of course, you know, you don't have your children as any part of your estate plan other than being beneficiaries. But as they get older, you have more faith in your kids to manage your financial assets. And so you're basically changing, you know, making your kids your financial POAs, your healthcare POA, power of attorney, that is.
But we've done that. I think that's a really good point to update this every 5 years. You know what I mean?
Just take a look at it.
Give Tim a call, sit down, and kind of go through it, because there's other things that you learn in life. I mean, your kids are your kids, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do with the kids. But there's some charity things that I want to have in there mm-hmm. that I've really like become to really, really respect. And it's so critical to the success of this community that we donate things to certain things. So, right, that's all part of meeting.
Correct. You would put that in your either if you have a trust or a simple will, you would make specific requests to a charitable organization, which is very important.
Right. And, okay, I'll come and see you, man.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sounds good.
I think with the kids, you know, 30, 30, 30, and then 10 to charity.
Yeah. I mean, that's usually how we like to do it, like percentage-wise, because we'd rather do that than a specific dollar amount, because you don't really know what you'll have in your estate at the end
of
the day.
You going to leave me anything, Jim? Be honest. A little something? A little something for the effort?
John, I'll make sure that something's in there for you.
Thanks,
right?
Tim. Right. We'll talk.
That's great, Tim. And I think the biggest asset people own is their home.
Correct.
You know? And,
typically.
If they want to gift it or...
Well, because of the tax laws, it's just good to know how you're doing it, what mechanism you're doing it through. It's just smart to know that.
Yeah, you always look at a lot of different things. You look at the tax ramifications. You look at the legal ramifications of that. Those are the things that I think that you really need to digest and go over with an attorney to make sure it fits what you want. You know,
can I leave 5% to charity and 5% to my dog?
You can leave money for the
care
of your dog.
You can do whatever you want.
Not specifically.
Aren't I adopting Milton when you pass away?
Did you hear him? He said for the care of my dog. So, John, that would be you. So, all right.
One of the things Tim said that you know, that I think is going to be changing over the years is a step-up basis tax. That's something to keep your eye on, because there's a lot of talk about how that's going to be calculated.
Better explain that one to the listeners.
Well, I think...
me.
Yeah. Well, federal estate tax right now, you can... $13.61 million is the federal estate tax threshold, meaning you could have a $13 million estate and there's no federal estate taxes. So we can dive into that a little bit more.
We get back.
this is interesting stuff because we got a plan, right? You never know, like Sandra said, you never know what's going to happen. I just got a text that this
is really interesting.
It is. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. All right. We're going to be right back with Tim Pollack from Liberty Title. And what's the name of your law?
Zachar Pollack.
Zachar Pollack. Yeah. I do like Zachar. He's a good guy.
You do?
And Sandra Rank. We'll be right back. Mind on the Mayor.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
988 Wisconsin Lifeline. How can I help you?
Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere in Wisconsin. Training is provided and flexible hours are available. 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselors enjoy competitive compensation and benefits packages. Most importantly, you can share hope and find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. Apply today at 988lifelinecounselor.org. Family Services is an equal opportunity employer.
Paid for by grants from SAMHSA and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey, welcome back. Mindo on the Mayor here on a Tuesday morning inside the house with Sandra Rank and her very special guest, Tim Pollack. Jim, take it away.
And Tim is I can't really call you young anymore, but you were young when you started your law practice because I met you. You bought a building. You're very committed to the community. You do a lot of charity work. You're a big Madison guy, too.
We started the Astor Neighborhood Association.
We did. I know. That was right. We were neighbors. But then you made a lot of money and moved out. And I stayed in the hood, and he moved out to Ledgeview, right?
Yes.
And that's a beautiful place you have.
It is. Thank you.
You never invited me inside. I've been to the outside.
Oh, gee, I wonder what that's feeling like, Jim. Wow.
Tim.
Wow.
Anyway, good guy in the community.
I blame my wife for that.
And we're talking about estate planning, especially when it has to do with real estate. And just we're talking a little bit at break.
About the step-up basis.
Yeah. Is there... What would you like recommend, or is everybody unique and individual?
Yeah, everybody's unique and individual. It's just based on, you know, case by case, based on the factual situation and what you want for your family. So every situation is a little different. It depends on, you know, what assets you have and who you want to receive those assets and what are their consequences of that. You know, a lot of people are worried about when they own just a home. They're worried about medical bills, right? They're worried about assisted living and that sort of thing. But the issue with transferring your asset to your kids to try to avoid that is that, you know, there's a couple of issues. Number one, you don't get to go where you want to go because you're on Medicaid. You'll be put in, you know, a home of not your choice because your assets are being paid for by the government at that point. So there's pros and cons to everything on that.
Is there a general rule of thumb, though, that you should have your, like, generally speaking, if you want to avoid probate, and the reason people might want to avoid probate isn't just money, it's time. It ties things up for a long time. Should people be thinking about how their house is titled?
Yes. I mean, I think that everybody's goal should be to avoid probate court. Like you said, it's not just the cost of legal fees, which vary, right? It can be anywhere from $3,000 to $20,000 for a probate action, depending on what your assets
and
are.
And a lot more taxes.
I don't know about more taxes. That just depends on your estate. But the main goal is to avoid the whole probate court action. And to do that, you would do the transfer upon death deed, or you would do a revocable living trust or irrevocable trust, as Jim suggested before. Those are kind of the three mechanisms, really, to avoid probate with your real estate. I guess the fourth would be you could actually gift that piece of real estate to your children during your lifetime. But again, there's some issues and concerns with doing that. And one is, you know, your kids will then, when they go to sell it via the gift, they'll have to pay capital gains tax on that sale.
Right. Or not to mention what could happen in their kids' lives that would affect your asset.
Correct.
Good point. So my big takeaway for the discussion today is for people to be thinking about how their house is titled. That's a big thing for people to think about.
And yeah, who should they call? Like our, you know, but people's houses are titled in LLC. They could be titled in like husband and wife. And we in Wisconsin, we don't have a whole lot of leeway in that husband and wife stuff, do we?
It's marital property state, right? So, I mean, yeah, if you don't have a prenuptial or postnuptial, you should own all your real estate in both your names,
right?
To avoid that probate action between for spouses.
If they don't have their house titled in a particular way, but it is titled in both their names. If one passes away, there's no probate, right? It just goes right to the spouse because we're a marital property state.
They have to hold title together as husband and wife,
okay,
in order to have that designation of joint tenancy to avoid probate.
How could you buy a house without your wife?
No, you can.
Because back in the day, a lot of times people bought it in the man's name, and it could be titled that way.
Well, you can. There's a lot of different ways that can happen. I could buy a house prior to getting married, and then I get married, and then I never add my wife to title. 20, 30 years go by, and I pass away. My wife would have to go through probate in order to get that asset into her name.
See, most people feel, because I have these discussions all the time, because I have a lot of older clients. They feel like they don't need to do that because it's a marital property state. It'll automatically come to me. Well, that's why it's important to, I wanted to have Tim on.
And it may come to them, but they have to go through the probate procedure in order to get that title into their name. You want to avoid that, and that's why everybody should check on how they hold title. And that goes for, like, if you're not married, right? And how you hold title is very important. It's either as joint tenancy or as tenants in common. So if you're not married, that designation is very important. If it's joint tenancy and one dies, the other one on title gets the property through that joint tenancy. If it's tenants in common and one passes away, then that interest goes to their heirs, not to each other.
How can people check to know how their house is titled?
When they close, they should have received a copy of the deed.
Okay, let's say they closed 20 years ago. Do you go to the courthouse to see how it's titled?
They would go to the Register of Deeds office, which is, you know, the county office that holds titles to properties.
Okay.
And they would get a copy of their deed from the Register of Deeds office.
Okay.
Johnny and I are buying some land up in Michigan, in Nugani.
Okay, we're not.
And do we have to get our wives to buy into this? Because my wife won't. But is there a way I could buy it without her?
Let's make it Wisconsin instead of Michigan. I can, you know. No, you do not have to. I could buy a house today without my wife's name on it or whatever. I could buy it just in my name.
Really?
Correct. Yeah.
How about Michigan?
Michigan, too. I mean, you do not need your wife to.
It's off the grid with M&M. It's 50 acres of land, and you've got your home there. Mm-hmm. The garage is off-site, so there's no cars in the residential area. And it's just very laid back, and people can just have a community garden.
It's all in his mind.
Anyway,
is bizarre.
I don't think your wife would be happy with you buying something like that, but that's a different story.
Your dog might come with you.
Oh, yeah.
Or she might keep the dog.
Well, that could be one of the M's, because I don't think I'll be up there.
No, Milton's not coming with us. I'm sorry. He's staying behind.
Anyway, Sandra, real estate, this is nice of you. You bring in people who help bring energy to your home. You talked about ways to improve your home. And this is really important that people have their home title.
It's so important to have it. A small check can make a big difference. You might think it's one way and it's another way. Just take a look.
That's great advice.
Good stuff. Right. Sandra, what else is going on in the world of real estate?
Well, we didn't even get to the title piece of it. But I'm gonna ask for people's prayers this week. On Thursday, I'm speaking in front of the entire state assembly. I have 5 minutes to talk about fentanyl.
Wow.
So it's a big deal. So I would appreciate a Thursday morning if everybody just sends super good vibes that I say the right thing.
You will.
You'll be phenomenal.
Thank you.
Nobody can speak with more
passion
and authority than you.
Yep.
You lost a son to that, and you tell them that, and that will set the stage.
I want to help other people. So anyway, so prayers up, please.
Awesome.
Thanks, congratulations.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Tim, it's great having you here. Mind on the Mayor. We'll be back again tomorrow morning.
See ya.
Out of the head, she's saying. your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry.